Crystal grew up in New York. Like some teenagers, she decided to make her own path, to go her own way. She began to date a young man, and she got pregnant. They decided to get married. It wasn't long after that that the marriage fell apart. She found herself in a place where the divorce was final, the house was in foreclosure, and she was drowning in debt. Crystal began to feel something that she had never felt before, hopelessness. She began to feel a pain that was so deep within her, she wasn't really sure she could handle it. She wasn't really sure what exactly she was going to do with it. She became suicidal. About this time, she was headed out to the street to take her trash to the curb, and it just so happened that her neighbor, Frankie, was also leaving the house at the exact same time. And Frankie, being a follower of Jesus, just sensed, I should just go say hi. And so she did. She walked over, she said hi, she could tell something wasn't wrong. She said, are you okay? And for whatever reason on this particular day, Crystal decided to open up and share what was going on in her life. Frankie listened and shared these words. God loves you. We all go through tests, but we are not alone. God is there to help us and to guide us. And with that, Crystal began to cry. So Frankie began to pray. And as she began to pray for strength and for comfort, Crystal would say, in that moment, she began to feel something she hadn't felt in a long time. She felt hope. She began to feel hope. I wonder if you can relate to Crystal's story. Now, I know the details in our lives, they're all very different. But then again, our stories are all the same because we've all, at some point in our lives, decided to go our own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, before we go any farther, I just want to make sure that I know who's in the room. Those of you watching online from around the world, you can play along with this here. If you are an everyone, would you just raise your hand? I just want to get a feel for who's in the room. If you're an everyone, wow, look at that. That's a lot of us. Okay, except for just a couple people. It pretty much looks like every one of us is an everyone. Everyone has turned to their own path, turned their own way. Another way to say this is we've all known hopelessness. We have. We've all known hopelessness. And if we want to be a people filled with hope, if we want to be a church filled with hope, where hope overflows into the lives of other people, then we have to remember that we were hopeless too. We were once hopeless. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, you may be thinking, now, wait a second. Okay, just a few weeks ago, you told us that Paul told us that we were to leave the past behind, that we were to forget what lies behind. And now you're telling us to remember hopelessness. Okay, which one is it? Well, it's both. And here's why. Here's how that works. In Philippians chapter 3, what Paul was talking about, he was saying, leave what lies behind. What he was saying, I am leaving behind my confidence in what I can do. I'm leaving behind my confidence in me to get everything right. I'm, I'm leaving behind my confidence in the law. I'm leaving behind my confidence in the flesh. I'm leaving behind my confidence in me. And I'm looking to the future. I'm looking forward to the prize. I'm looking forward to the place where I can place my confidence. And the only place I can place my confidence is in Christ alone. That's exactly what he's saying here in Ephesians 2. The only place for us to place our confidence is in Christ alone. That's where our hope is found. It is Christ within us that is the hope of glory. But don't forget that we were once dead in our sins. We were once on the outside looking into the promise of Abraham and to Israel. We were once without hope, without God in the world. But praise be to the God of hope that is not all of our story. There is more to the story. Also in Ephesians 2, backing up to verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see, a beautiful thing begins to happen when we remember where we were, but we remember how far Christ has brought us. It changes everything. You see, it begins to change the way we see ourselves. It begins to change the way we see God. And you know what else it does? It changes the way we begin to see each other. Because here's the truth. We're all a little broken. We are. We all have some brokenness in us. Every single one of us. My brokenness may not be the same as your brokenness, and your brokenness might not be the same as mine. We all experience some kind of brokenness. You might call it some type of poverty. For some, it's material. It's a lack of resources. We call that poverty. But for some, the poverty, the brokenness, it's spiritual. For some of us, it's a broken relationship with God. For some of us, the brokenness is relational. It's one dysfunctional relationship after another, and we just continue to burn through those relationships. Well, that's brokenness. See, we're all a little broken. And that brokenness keeps us from experiencing the full life that God intends for us to live. The full life that Christ came to give. Jesus entered our world. Jesus entered our lives, our broken lives, to bring wholeness, to bring hope. Jesus came so that we, number two, can be filled with hope. We can be filled with hope. For 33 years, Jesus walked this earth and he modeled hope. He modeled the source of hope, but he also modeled the purpose of hope. I mean, where did Jesus receive hope? He received hope from his Father. I want you to read this with me in Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Where was his source of hope? It was the Father placing hope in him, the fullness of God being placed in Jesus himself. And it pleased God. It pleased him to place his fullness in him. Why? Because Jesus was reconciling all things to himself. Whether on earth, in heaven, think about that for a second. Jesus is reconciling all things. He's making things right. He's setting things right. He is on a mission to this day to reconcile all things to himself, to reconcile us to himself, but then all things. I want to share with you just a little bit about how this is happening here in our church here at Oak Hills as we are together reconciling all things. And to do so, I would like to introduce to you our local outreach minister, Dean Mathis. Guys, will you give a warm Oak Hills welcome to Dean? Come on up here, buddy. Good to see you. Have a seat. I wanted Dean to come and share with us just a little bit about how we've been talking a little bit here about how hope overflows. It just kind of overflows from one life to another. It's the beautiful thing that God does. But I wanted you to be able to share with us just a little bit about how God is doing that through our church, specifically with our partnership with Habitat for Humanity.
I've had the privilege to have a front row seat watching several hundred volunteers in the fall and the spring from our church come together to really give hope. And we anticipated the hope of the first family, the Ramirez family, this fall in building their first home and building it in a tight, efficient way. But it wasn't but until a few weeks into the build that we realized the more hope that was going to happen was more of a restorative hope for the family beyond the house. And it was kind of a surprise how it came at us.
Okay, so tell us more about the restorative hope. Tell us what you...
Yeah, it was about the fifth week in the build or so. And in that context, we usually start with a real brief devotion prayer and end the day the same way, at least with a prayer. And we're closing that prayer the day. And Fabian, the father and husband of the Ramirez family, was standing next to me. And he leaned over and he said, "Hey, do you think we can pray for Chantel, his wife?" I said, "Well, of course. You know, and people are starting to leave." And I said, what's going on? He said, "Well, she lost our third baby this last Thursday." And this was Saturday of the build. And I said, "Yeah, buddy." And of course, I called everybody. Of course, everybody came back immediately, laid hands on him and prayed some powerful prayers of healing, just restoration, just covering him and Chantel. It was a beautiful moment. And when we finished, he turned and looked at me. And he was really close. And he goes, "Is this what it feels like to be part of a church?" I said, "Yeah, brother, it sure does."
Oh my goodness. That is, I mean, what a testimony right there.
I know. You didn't see it coming.
Well, you know? I'm just glad that in that moment, somebody was there to be able to pray with them, but also to just be there for them in that time of need.
You know, it's really great. You know, men disciple men, women disciple women, and the gals who had some similar experiences got Chantel's phone number, started connecting with her, sending her flowers, just building that friendship towards restoration and hope. It was beautiful to watch, and their friendship grew. And the next thing you know, I thought I was watching scenes of HGTV. They're exchanging ideas about how to decorate the house, what colors to, you know, to make. And you know, I thought, this is amazing how these guys have really built a friendship. But as the week went on too, they realized, as I got closer to the home, actually becoming their home, Chantel and Fabian had given their bed to their daughter, and they were going to sleep on the floor. And these ladies who had this friendship and just been bringing a lot of hope to Chantel got money together, and they bought her a bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Bought them a bed. It was really neat.
Yeah. That is awesome. Hey, you were also telling me a story about an Oak Hills family that hope has just kind of overflowed through them in this deal.
Yeah, those guys are kind of a walk-in party of hope. Lorena Donez and her son Rico and Enrique are sitting right over here. Actually, I saw them just before the service started. When we started back in the fall looking to do the home builds, they were so excited as a church that we were going to do this in our community. They came up and said, "They got to be a part of this," because just this last year, through saving and hoping for a home of their own, they've got themselves their own home, but they want to be a part of giving that hope to somebody else as a church.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That is amazing. It sounds like it was something that they could relate to.
Yeah, very much so. It's not that those guys felt like they had a big building prowess before they started, but I've watched them become pretty good builders, you know, on the side. It's fun to see that. But it's been neat because they've realized as a family, here's a single mom with her two teenage sons, that the hope they've received, they're giving it as the hands and feet of Jesus, that same hope to another family. And now they've done it for both families in the fall and the spring. And I am so proud of you guys. Oh, it's exciting.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now we're in the spring, and we're in the middle of a second build. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's going? And
Yeah, it was really fun. First of the year, we had a meet and greet. Habitat does this great thing. We're meeting the families together to meet the people that we're going to be building for, and they get a chance to meet us. So about seven or eight of us were with Santun and his family, his wife, all that, and then Cynthia, who's four, and Abraham, who is two and a half now. And so we had a great conversation. We're doing our best. There's a little bit of a language barrier. They're from Burma, the refugees from Burma. Okay. And so they're speaking Burmese, of course, and we were speaking Texan English. And we were having a lot of fun. And we did a pretty good job, I think. The Kasaw is pretty helpful in translating. But the best conversation that happened was when we were walking away, and here comes little Abraham, who'd been quiet as a church mouse the whole night, tugging on my shirt. And he's looking, you know, up at me, and I'm looking down. Abraham, he'll be up here in a second with his bow tie. And he said, for the question, you build my family a house? And, you know, and I looked at him, I said, yeah, buddy, we're going to build you a house. And all of a sudden, that went from a question to exclamation. He started jumping up and down and going, you build my family a house. You build my family a house. I said, we sure are. And so we were ready to start building that night, but I'm happy to report that we're ahead of schedule, and for Abraham and his family, we'll have them in their home, and I think it'll be built before Easter. Isn't that awesome?
Oh my goodness, that is awesome. You understood that, didn't you?
Oh, it's build a house. Very clear.
Church, we have the Santun family with us today. Right. Let's welcome them up to the stage. Oh. Come on up this way. We are so happy to have them with us. Abraham, you are looking sharp, my man. If I could only borrow that.
I think we lost a shoe. We're getting it fixed. There we go.
All right. Come on up here with us.
Their dress.
Come on up here, guys. We're so thankful to have you guys with us. We wanted to take a moment. There you go. That's good. I think he's kind of liking this. Come on up here. So first of all, we just wanted to spend some time with them and give them an opportunity to say anything, if they wanted to say anything to us. He's ready to go.
I want to say thank you to invite us to worship together. I want to say thank you again. Again, thank you.
Good job.
Yeah.
All right, church, if you will, extend a hand. We're going to pray for this family. Father, we are so grateful for the way you work in our lives, the way you fill our hope, our lives with hope, and the way that you overflow that hope into other lives, the way that you have allowed us and the Santun family to intersect for our paths to cross each other. We pray for protection for them as they continue to work on this house, and we pray for protection for all of our folks as we walk alongside of each other to not just build a home, but to build hope.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Can we give them another round of applause? Thank you guys so much. I can't wait to see what happens in the next service. Now, I'm so excited about the work that God is doing in us and through us. And Dean has done a marvelous job of leading us in this effort and our local outreach efforts. And it's just amazing to see how hope just keeps overflowing. We found out last week that someone just paid for the next build. $57,000 it cost for us and our part to build a home, and someone's already just paid for the home in the fall. Isn't that amazing? And many of you have been so generous. You've been generous in so many different ways, but it's just amazing to see what God can do when we just open our lives to hope. And we've been talking about overflowing hope, but I want to ask you a question now. I mean, we've seen some of these stories, some of these examples of how hope overflows, but my question for you is, do you believe that God can use you to bring hope to another life? Do you believe that God can use you? Because here's the truth. Number three, we can overflow with hope. We can overflow with hope. There's a scripture that we have really, I mean, kind of built this entire overflow series around. We've gone back to it many times. It's Romans 15, verse 13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may" what? Overflow with what? Hope. Come on. You may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that we can overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit? Because you can. And you are. I mean, many of you, you're already overflowing in just the places you're being kind to your neighbors. You're sharing hope out there. Many of you, you're leading small groups. Some of you are serving the body here on the weekends. Did you guys know that the weekends don't just happen like every 7 days? I mean, we've got a little bit of staff that makes things, but it's our people that makes this happen. You're sharing hope on a weekly basis. At your work, the places you live, the places that you play. You are sharing hope. We can share hope. Can I just invite you to entertain this prayer? To pray this prayer. God of hope, fill me with hope so I can bring hope to the broken. Now remember, we're all a little broken. But what would happen if every single one of us prayed that prayer every day this next week? And we not only prayed that prayer, but we acted, had the courage to act on the answer that we received from that prayer. What difference would it make? I'll tell you what difference it would make. You could be hope for someone else. You can be hope for someone else. Anyone who has the power of Christ within them can be hope for someone else. You can be the reason someone tastes the salt of the earth. You can be the reason someone sees the light of the world. You can be the reason somebody feels the touch of the hands of Christ this week. You can be the reason that there is a pleasing aroma rising to the heavens. You can be the reason, with Christ within you, you can be the reason that someone with closed ears and a closed heart, for whatever reason, opens up their heart and hears for the very first time, God loves you. You can be hope. Jesus is reconciling all things to himself. And you can be that hope for someone else. That's what the Donis family has done for the Ramirez family and the Sawtoon family now. And it's what Frankie did for Crystal. It wasn't long after they met on the edge of the street that day when Frankie prayed for Crystal, that Crystal said, something changed in me in that moment. She said, something sparked in me. And I wanted something better for myself. I wanted something better for my children. And so we began to attend a church. And the people there were so kind to us. She said, after a while, I began to smile again. I began to smile again. And wouldn't you know it, it wasn't long after that, Crystal was at her work, walking through the break area when she noticed a young lady sitting at a table alone, visibly distraught. She knew what to do. She went and sat down. She said, "Are you okay?" For whatever reason, on this particular day, this young lady decided to open up her life and share what was going on in her life. And Crystal told her, "It's going to be okay. I can tell you from experience, your life isn't over. Can I pray for you?" And Crystal began to pray. She would later say it was her honor to do that for someone else because someone once took the time to do that for her. Could you take the time to be hope for someone else this week? Can we end with our overflow prayer? You thought I forgot it, didn't you? I didn't forget. I want us to end by praying this. Will you pray it aloud with me? Good Father, tell me my purpose. Tell me your plan. Tell me the truth of who I really am. Give me your spirit to see as you see, to know why I'm here and what my life means. Awaken our hearts, drench us in truth. We empty ourselves to be filled with you. Pour us out, Father, wherever we go, so others drink deeply from your overflow. And all those who agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen.